guys! This is your host, Miranda, of the Life Sucks podcast. Just wanted to remind you that, as always, copyright licensing information can be found in the episode notes, as well as any content or trigger warnings. And of course, I wanted to thank you for listening in, be it your first time or you are an avid listener. And to let you know that we are available to subscribe pretty much anywhere that you listen to podcasts. And we stream exclusively from anchor.fm. I am on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and Tumblr as Miranda Gilestorm, M. Gilestorm in some inversion of that. So find me, follow me, like, subscribe, you know, do your thing. And again, thank you for listening, and on behalf of our whole Life Sucks podcast crew, I hope that you enjoy this podcast.
So the title of this episode is, you don't need a coping mechanism, you need Jesus.
We all need Jesus.
Incorrect.
I still sound like my mother.
That's the point.
Incorrect. The title of this week's Life Sucks podcast is,
Jesus is my coping mechanism.
Turning sorries into
Shut up, Cody.
Thank yous. Social anxiety and our weird coping mechanisms. I don't actually have social anxiety, I just have anxiety, but I apparently have negative coping mechanisms.
I have every
you
type
think,
of anxiety.
You think this is, I haven't eaten in 2 days,
yeah,
I'm just gonna hide in bed.
I was running around 2 hours of sleep.
By midnight.
Excuses,
no,
excuses.
That's not really hiding in bed.
No, it was
just
catching up on sleep. It was just being nocturnal because our son decided that 4:30 was an acceptable time to wake up.
Do we want to restart this?
No,
no,
it's fine.
We're going.
We're rolling with it.
We haven't experienced this
I've
yet.
Heard
this
it,
is just
but
how
we're rolling
this goes.
With it.
Welcome to the Life Sucks podcast. I am your host, Miranda, and this is how this is going to go. We have my husband Cody, who was also with us last week. We have Josh and the Queen of Twilight, Midna. And my sister-in-law, Katie. If you couldn't tell, they're related. They are siblings. And, of course, Riley is joining us again,
with
featuring
burrito.
Her Chipotle burrito that,
that
we are all...
That burrito's bigger than your stomach.
We're
I'm
all
considering
about
throwing it
right
into the lake.
Wait, I was gonna put everything up before we started. Can the camera
I'm
see it?
I'm sorry that Jose got
yes,
your order
the
before you
can
see
it.
Can see it.
I told you I need to put it up.
I don't care,
it's
you're
a,
fine.
Nobody cares about
nobody
your
cares.
Weed.
So, thus far, in the 3 videos I have posted to YouTube, I have not successfully got an actual video up.
Okay.
I'm considering just posting them with the logo and audio.
Is one thing I'd like to say.
The other videos didn't end up posting?
They won't process.
Why not?
Why? Are they too big? Or that shouldn't be a reason.
I don't know. And I'm about to give up on them. Anyways, so today's topic is essentially coping mechanisms. We're going to dip a little bit into anxiety, but we are going to do a full podcast episode on anxiety on its own without dealing with the coping mechanisms themselves. So today we're just going to do weird coping mechanisms because I've got some of the worst of them. And I know everybody in this porch room.
They're not necessarily the worst. They're the most, because worst is not... accurate term, you know. But they're
I mean, mine's
the,
actually healthy.
They're the most, I would say...
common?
Ooh, eating a
no.
lot. Or not eating at all.
We did, we'll get to the self-care, lack of
okay.
thing.
I don't think it's fair to call one coping mechanism
no.
better or worse
no.
than another.
Yes, it is, 100%. Some
yes.
are healthy and some are not.
Yes.
Not eating for 3 days is really bad. Drinking a lot of caffeine is bad, but not as bad as that.
I don't know. I did like 6 grounding's shots of espresso
good.
Today.
On
See, we got that on there. We got good
some
and
people
bad.
Would say, some people would say his coping mechanism or her coping mechanism is worse than yours. Or mine is worse than yours.
What's my coping mechanism?
He's referring to me.
Oh. Yeah. I don't use that to cope.
I do too.
I exist to cope.
I exist.
Anyways,
okay.
So
we did possess so Josh could cope. And
hey.
Fuck Jose.
Yeah, Jose, if you see this, fuck
hashtag
you, dude.
Fuck Jose.
We're sorry, but Josh was supposed to be the Postmates driver and you fucking stole his shit. So.
No, big thing. We're not sorry, actually.
Actually, you're correct. We're not sorry. Thank you for giving us this opportunity to explain our feelings.
But fuck you.
We're turning our sorries into thank yous. Yes, so we have these nice little lists that are handwritten by me because my printer doesn't have ink, that we can always get back to if somebody decides, oh hey, we're really off topic, I'm gonna talk about binge watching.
YouTube.
And Netflix.
Netflix. Although I have jumped on a Hulu or Amazon Prime occasionally.
Oh yeah, and Amazon Prime.
I
don't pay for
Prime
Hulu
right now.
Oh, yes.
I feel too
we
attacked today.
We just triggered
today.
Josh, guys.
What?
We just triggered Josh, guys.
I don't know how we triggered Josh.
My name is not Josh. It's actually pronounced Job. There was a story about me in the Bible.
We're really confused.
I'm sorry. It's true.
No, you're Jose number two because I'm Jose number one.
Why did I say
it's really terrible.
No, I have luck like Yamcha has luck.
No, but
luck.
I really want to know why Amazon is.
The reason his account went negative.
Yes.
Okay. They did that with one of my credit
cards.
So
social anxiety.
Okay.
Cody put down his phone.
Wow. So one of Cody's social anxiety mechanisms is to just be quiet and stare at his phone.
His phone is his main coping mechanism,
yeah.
I'd argue.
Disengaging. In general.
It depends on what I'm doing.
Although I have to say I'm probably worse than you have been lately. With reading. I don't know what you look at when you're on your phone. But I'm reading.
We'll get to mine in a little bit. We'll get to my coping mechanism in a little bit. Because it all kind of relates back to why I'm on my phone so much.
What? I have an idea.
Why don't we just explain it now since we're talking about
it? No, I feel like I know exactly what it is already.
What do you think it is, Ryan?
No, just keep going. Keep going. We'll get back to me in a little bit.
Whatever. Okay, so we have grounding, a healthy coping mechanism. Somebody's in a panic attack, the first thing that we teach them in therapy is grounding. You know, name 3 things that you can see, name 2
things
that you can touch,
feel.
Name 1 thing that you can hear, like basic grounding techniques. Like, I remember when I was working in the clinic, my dad sent me a snap of, a house that I used to go to that was super triggering for me with a picture of my little sister, and literally the caption was, "Do you remember?" And I was like, "Yeah, I fucking do. Why the hell would you do that?" And it sent me spiraling, and I had to go into
That's
the office.
That's an asshole thing to do.
Yeah, my dad's clueless.
When
so.
Was that?
Did you explain it to him?
No. What? My mother
there's
has asked.
No point to
there's
trying
there's
explain.
No. There's no
we
point
talk
in talking
about
to
this.
My dad about any of it. So literally
what
I had to go in a while ago into the office of one of the other counselors in my clinic and be like, okay, so like something has happened, I'm like about to collapse into
I
this
did this.
Major panic attack. And so her first thing was, where's your mom right now? Like, what's going on? Like complete like redirection and then grounding. So, like, what's going on? How are you feeling? Like, what do you see right now? What are you going to be doing this afternoon?
Yeah.
Like, redirect my brain so that the panic attack had to stop.
I did something similar to this. I was at a Christmas celebration at my uncle's, and I had a bunch of things go wrong that day, and then my emotionally and somewhat physically abusive ex started a bunch of drama, and so that triggered one of my panic attacks, so I quietly removed myself to the restroom to calm myself down, and so I could ground myself, but then my mom said I was causing a scene and arched in the bathroom and ripped me up on the hair, started beating my ass, so that didn't help.
Yeah,
so, but I've done that before, but now it makes it hard for me to do that because of what my mom did.
Right.
So now I have trouble even trying to, and then like last night when I had the drama going on, I excused myself and they barged in the door and got in my face and started yelling.
Right. That's where like a lot of therapists will do deliberate grounding rather than just the obscure, okay, fine, five things.
Because like now it just kind of messes me up a little bit because I remember when I tried grounding myself, how that stuff happened.
Right, that's when I've seen
case not to really get into that, but I figured.
No, but I've seen case studies of where it's like, okay, memorize, you know, the street you lived on.
Yeah.
The street you had to turn on to get to it.
Yeah.
The street you had to turn on there.
Just anything to basically distract.
And memorize.
Well, that's what they used to know, Jessica Jones.
Mm-hmm. And memorize those five streets and repeat them. Always remember them.
See, I was listening to music.
Well, that's
when,
but like
in the middle of a panic attack or an anxiety attack, I listen to music.
Yeah, I do
that. I get focused on something else other than.
Now, do you listen to like music that relaxes you? Like
I listen to anything.
I listen to what style
or
it can be anything. Like whatever. I'm just scrolling through Pandora and I'm like, okay, this song. I like this song.
So just whatever you just want to hear.
Yeah.
Does anyone else ever have it where they'll listen to music but they'll choose music to match their mood? Like if they're mad, they'll choose music that channels that anger. If you're sad, you'll choose like the festive music.
I do that sometimes, but only a little bit because if I go, if I'm depressed and I go into
sometimes that has a worse effect. Yeah.
Because like my depressing music is like music where if you're in a fantastic mood, if you listen to it, it's gonna put you in a
mind.
So I do that very.
That's why we like a lot of the same artists, because it's got all kind of got the dark side, like Halsey and NF and stuff like that.
Oh, I listen
Logic.
To like Lund.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know what Lund is, but Lund is depressing as shit.
With me, like, when I have bad anxiety or depression or just really negative thoughts, I'll actually listen to, like, really heavy, chaotic music.
I listen to a lot of that, too.
That helps, like, me, like, when I'm focusing on the music, especially if it's using a lot of changing tempos and stuff like that. I can focus on that.
Like,
I can
really
use that music as an outlet for that anger or depression or anxiety, and I come out feeling better because that music needs a release. Like, with me, it's stuff like, Converge, Cult Leader, like Moss to Flames, The Plot and You, Gaza, anything really heavy and really like,
it's about how stimulated I am. Like on days like today where my brain was working at maybe half capacity at best, or apparently I hallucinated her asking to come over tonight.
Yeah, because when you messaged me, you're like, you can come over tonight, I was like, I didn't even ask to
she
come
didn't
over.
Text
okay.
me. She did not.
I was so confused, but I was like, okay.
Well, I'm glad you came over. I'm glad I got to
well,
see
no,
you.
Well, no, because you said that, hey, Riley asked if she can come over tonight, and I checked the chat. I'm like, she didn't
Well, no, she always
chat.
Messages me personally.
Okay.
So, like, I totally... Yeah,
I was like, okay.
Yeah.
I'm like, sure, I'll come over.
But
I didn't ask to come over, but sure.
I was
gonna ask anyways.
I was so sleep-deprived. I was making extra sandwiches for orders that didn't exist. I was hallucinating messages from Riley, but, like...
Thanks, Micah.
Yeah, thanks, Micah. I mean, it was bad. And so, like, I was easily overstimulated on a day like today. So, like, I was listening to flamenco guitar, all instrumental stuff today. But, like, on days where, like, I am so, like, pent up and, like, manic.
Yeah.
Like,
I feel like I've been manic for, like, 3 weeks now. I don't really know.
You cannot eat my straw at midnight.
Or my
bread. So, those are days where, like, I need high energy music.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily about my mood. It's about like the stimulus I require.
Well, yeah, sometimes if I'm tired, I'll do that too. I'll listen to like high energy music and try and like wake myself up. Mm-hmm.
Some people call that big dick energy.
Okay.
Then Brittany's like, okay, thanks, Josh.
And new topic.
thank you for your input.
Thanks, Josh. New topic. I can't believe
his input is few and far between,
though.
I'm
actually input something, yeah. Though, because he actually has stuff to say rather than jokes.
Except for that, the joke.
He does. Yeah,
I do, I just don't like interrupting and everyone's always talking.
Josh has the floor.
I'm horrible at interrupting.
Josh has the floor.
I wasn't paying attention to most of that.
Well, what, look at the list. Pick something
kind of
new.
What kind of music do you listen to help your mood? As a fellow musician.
What mood?
Any. Like, if you're in the middle of anxiety, what's your go-to music? As a coping mechanism.
Joji.
I mean, Joji's my everything guy. I love him. He gets me in my feels. Him, I've really been getting into Post Malone lately. He's great.
Great
joke
the other day.
Toast Malone.
Sorry.
I mean, there's never a bad time for Nirvana to come on for me, because that was
true.
My day one band. I loved it, and I was so heartbroken when I found out I would never see them live. But, so grunge, not Pearl Jam, because they are not grunge, they suck, they did not deserve to be in that category.
I hate you.
That's okay. Freddie Vedder
Josh
was
just like, I hate you too.
Apparently
anyway, see,
guys.
It triggered me a little bit. My bad. I like metal. Just driving to work, I probably shouldn't listen to metal in a charger. But it happens.
I'll be blasting metal on my Jeep Wrangler. I'm like, I feel like I should be blasting country, which I do sometimes, but it's like that kind of rock country. It's got like a rock edge to it.
I refuse to listen to country.
Okay.
You're probably the only person in this room. I keep wanting to call it a room.
It is a room.
It would be a room
it
if
is closed
actually
in.
Inside
yeah.
Instead of sweating.
I listen to
all
pretty
this
much...
is use this room to track drums.
I listen to pretty no. much anything.
You cannot take my porch. You will pry this porch from me.
And this porch is not soundproof.
Oh.
Hands.
Hidden gem on music. Living Color, Cult of Personality.
Yes.
Most
yes.
people know it as CM Punk's entrance music.
Oh,
it has yes. been around since 1984, and it still sounds modern.
Yeah, no, they were ahead
sounds
of their time.
Way ahead of their time.
They were very much ahead of their time.
I have looked
back. Love that song.
I remember hearing that so much.
Absolutely love that song. If you haven't heard it, listen to it.
I'm still blown away. I
think
that was great.
Hell, where did you put it?
I don't know, but I fucking ate like all of it. There's
May
only
I...
like a few bites left.
You are you gonna eat the rest of that?
Josh wants it.
Are you gonna eat the rest
Josh
of that?
Josh is out of it.
Okay.
Okay.
Back
so. Alright.
What are you? We're good.
But you're gonna throw it in the water.
Oh my god.
He's gonna
fucking do it!
Tell me why my cousin
has! Oh my yes!
God. It's a burrito.
He's fucking eating the shit!
Tell me why my cousin threw a corn cob into the neighbor's yard the other night when we were really
I was done eating.
I wish she didn't want more of that.
She didn't.
No, like, I actually really didn't. Like, I'm...
Tyrion? Tyrion, no.
Okay,
back on topic.
Do you feel better?
I feel a little better now.
There we go. Oh, right here.
So, caffeine!
Okay, yeah, so this actually brings us to one of our other coping mechanisms for anxiety.
I feel like I should be crossing these off.
Riley?
I'll be honest, I don't feel like any of these are coping mechanisms for me.
What?
Then we'll talk about yours.
Literally
too.
None of these.
How do you cope?
What are your coping mechanisms?
You don't cope?
I don't.
You don't.
So you're like,
I was being serious
cope.
Earlier when I said I
you're
cope
like,
by still being around.
One of my coping mechanisms
just, like,
is.
Avoid.
Yeah. No.
You do a big yes.
You do
withdraw?
No, I just exist.
Do you withdraw at all?
Yeah, you just let it...
No.
You just let it go.
Sobriety.
You just let it...
I wish
some
I could
people
do
can
that.
Do that.
Yeah,
some
I wish I could do that.
I'm just like, whatever, it happened.
Josh, teach me how to do that. Please, because obviously you saw last night I don't know how to do
that. Can you honestly look me in the face and be like, none of this matters, it doesn't affect me at all.
I mean, sometimes he smokes
kind of.
Weed or
Josh is like,
sometimes
I do not avoid
weed.
Things happen. Things are gonna happen regardless of where my stance is, and if they already happen, there's no use in dwelling on it.
That's a good
point. Very
line.
Buddhist?
What?
Actually, yes.
Oh. Yeah.
Good catch.
I've been trying to do that.
At the center of that kind of philosophy is peace.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you say that you feel that?
Yeah.
You feel inner peace.
Things happened. They're going to keep happening. They are probably going to happen before I fall asleep tonight. But
it is
most of
it
isn't preventable.
Is that good? Okay.
So, I mean, why sit there and dwell on it?
You sound like my dad.
That's the kind of attitude I...
I'm just saying. Corey and I both of our dads would just tell us, suck it up.
The way I look at it is, you can either sit there and dwell and let something burn inside of you.
I do that.
Or you could just move on.
Fuck it.
I was better at that before.
Before what?
No, when me and her first became friends, she was...
That's a different podcast.
Or a never gonna happen podcast.
I was better at that before Kirby.
Okay.
I could let things roll off. I could
100%.
Yeah. I could move on and just accept, yeah, shit happens in my life. It always happens. Tires blow.
You're a lot more emotional ever since Kirby had it.
But
it comes to a lot of things.
That's my car's true. Just give out on me all the fucking time.
She used to
my
be
my best
like,
friend died, and I never really lost someone close to me except for my grandparents and stuff.
I used to be able to.
I know how that
out.
Goes.
Yeah,
you were like that all the time. You were always like, eh, fuck it.
Actually, it's why I'm the way I am now.
Because
it hurts so bad, I had
to
find a way to get over it.
You come numb to it, I feel like. You almost get numb to it sometimes, especially when a bunch of things happen.
Well, and that's the thing, was like, my life...
In a row.
My
I'm
life
numb to
was,
certain things.
And
yeah.
has been, for the most part, a consistent...
Trauma.
Like,
yeah.
it was just, like, literally tragedy after tragedy after tragedy, and
yeah.
it was just things that were out of my control.
Yeah,
well, and for
exactly.
years, I was numb to my dad. Like, he's gonna drink himself to death? Cool, great. Don't tell me about it.
That's how it was with my stepdad, too. It was
yeah,
like that I'm none to. I'm like, you want to drink until you die? Have fun.
Yeah.
Can't do anything about it.
And, it was, okay, yep. I'm stuck on the side of the road for the next 6 hours. Cool. Whatever.
It's
I'm just
going to
sit keep walking.
No, I sat there with my car.
Huh. Oh, God, you must have been so hot. What time of year was this?
It was dark.
Oh, okay.
The tires blow out. The AC didn't.
No, there was no AC in that car.
There was no AC in her car.
See,
I paid $500 cash for that car. It only started when it wanted to.
Oh.
Then you sold it to Charles, who then turned around and sold it to the scrapyard for profit.
That's because I only sold it to him for $200.
That's okay. I bought a Sonata for $800 and then got the charger with it.
I don't have a car.
So.
There you go. But yeah, so...
Yeah, I got $500 for my old car and bought the Infiniti, but I bought it outright, so I don't have a car payment.
Oh, yeah. Nice. I do.
Still I've had a car payment
it.
Since that $500 car.
Yeah.
I regret it immensely.
Yeah.
But do you, though?
I do. I do. I wish I had gotten a car off the
That's part of the problem. Don't regret.
No regrets.
You never would have let me get a car
no,
off the Craigslist.
No
you or your parents, so don't even start with me. Every time I look at a car on Craigslist, everybody's like, you can't drive Micah around in something like that.
Okay, so since we're getting a little bit off topic now, we will go ahead and delve a little deeper into what you were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously, you know, I've been through something similar. Well, not really similar, but basically similar.
It's just successive trauma.
Somebody you love and care about very much.
Yes.
So it is okay to mourn. It is okay to love. It is okay to miss. But at some point, you gotta realize it's only hurting you the more you let it hurt
you.
Mm-hmm. And the fact that.
And also, you gotta think that the person who passed away would not want you mourning and depressed over it, you know? They want you to celebrate their life and be out there. You know, they want to see you thrive even if they're not physically here. You know, they still want to see you thrive and they wouldn't want you. I mean, it's normal to be upset, obviously, but you also have to think they wouldn't want me, threatening myself.
So we'll use this.
Deep into it.
Says turn sorries into thank yous, turn mourning into celebration.
celebrate a celebration of their
the
life,
friendship you had with her.
Or even just thank their
Aren't
life
there
in general.
Entire verses and psalms about that, too? Yeah.
Yes.
Well, and you can even turn like somebody's life into a thank you. Like, just thanking that person for just being in your life in general.
Yeah,
because I mean, like, you could have never met Kirby ever.
Yeah, the funeral I went to like 2 weeks ago for Corey's uncle, and I actually was friends with the kid whose dad died and never knew they were cousins. And it was fun at his funeral though, because everyone was just sharing funny stories and great memories. And it was definitely sad, but like the whole room was like cutting up and laughing, and, you know, just celebrating. Celebrating the fun times they had, you know, and like the good memories they shared. And like, it's definitely sad, but it was kind of happy too. And it was kind of joyful, and people were mourning, but they were also celebrating. And remembering.
There's just a lot that is unresolved in Kirby's death.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That.
Too much.
Too much. Not just in the way she died and all of that. There was... It...
Do you think some of the doctors...
Well, the doctors...
We'll talk about this later. Actually, let's not talk about it. I won't trigger you.
Well, no, it's not triggering. It's not.
Okay. Are you sure?
Talking about it helps, but I think that's something we should get into
later. Well. Yeah.
For sure.
But it's just, there's...
We are on the subject of death, though, so...
But, I mean, it's... It's not even just...
I feel like it makes it hard when you don't have closure.
Mm-hmm.
And I just mean any sort of closure reason in general. Not even talking about this specific case.
Oh, no. There's always closure. You just have to find it.
Yeah, and until you find it, the...
Finding closure sucks.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Looking for it sucks.
Exactly.
There's a lot of issues in this situation that make it hard to find it.
So segueing from there, how have you been coping over the past year, Brittany?
I go to therapy.
Do you find that it helps?
I think therapy helps.
I don't find that to be a coping mechanism.
It is. It's
it may be
coping
a way
isn't
it.
Self-help,
yeah, it's
and that is definitely self-help.
But,
you know what I'm saying, though, right?
Yeah, no, I know. I'm not doing anything for myself. I don't know.
I know, but what? But there can also be negative coping.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, my negative coping mechanisms, I know. I'm not eating, I'm not sleeping, I'm not taking care of myself, I'm not...
So when I get anxious on the topic of sleeping, if everyone wants to kind of talk about that, because I feel like that's a good topic, I do both. Sometimes I'll sleep too much, especially that's more when I'm depressed, but sometimes I'll sleep too much so that I'm not awake feeling whatever's triggering my anxiety and depression. Because I feel like it's my only escape sometimes from that anxiety and depression.
I do that. I just sleep all day.
But then other times, sometimes if I get really anxious and it's hard for me to sleep, like last night, I was so anxious I was up till 5 a.m. But then sometimes I'll do the opposite and my anxiety will be so bad that I'll get racing thoughts when I try to sleep. And my anxiety is causing me to think about like worst case scenarios whenever I try and go to sleep. So sometimes I'll have trouble getting to sleep and sleep too little. Yeah, I just sleep. Yeah.
Both of you.
I do both.
Not so much during the day. Like, during the day, I just kind of nap
for a couple hours
and then wake up, want to maybe nap a little bit more.
How long was
I
actually out last
night? But, like, I will sleep for, like, 12 hours at night.
Maybe 20 minutes.
I don't think anyone knows.
If I don't have anywhere to...
Both of you were snoring.
Me?
No, these two.
I'm like, what do you mean?
I really wanted to get a video of it because it was priceless. I've got Josh snoring on the couch. I've got Cody snoring in the recliner next to me.
Cody at the same time.
Yes. I was like,
Cody
this
snores
is my
so
life.
Loud.
So it was in stereo life. Then. Yeah, in stereo.
Are you
and
on each side?
And I was like, why am I watching Lucifer right now?
The
like,
real question is, who wore
it
better?
Who snored it better? She's gonna jump.
Who was louder?
you.
I feel like you're definitely louder.
Everyone's
dude, yours is powerful.
I threw a remote at you and it bounced off.
She did throw a remote.
It bounced off of what?
Your stomach.
Seriously?
When I heard a slap and she's like, did you not see here? See me throw that?
When I sleep over and sleep on the bed out there and your bedroom door is closed, I hear your snore as if you're sleeping on the couch.
She didn't even hear me when I said turn him on his side.
Over your head until you stop breathing.
That's fine.
Oh, Riley goes from 0 to 100 on this.
Do it. Yeah. Do it. End my existence.
I don't have life insurance on him anymore.
Wait.
Cody's like, hey! You should probably have life insurance on you.
No, I have it to work.
Oh, okay,
never mind. I don't have any insurance, so. My insurance runs out.
Hey, anyway. Alright, so back to.
So.
Urinating.
You oversleep.
Yeah.
I sleep.
Severely. Okay. Like, you will sleep all day.
I do that a lot to keep with my anxiety.
He'll sleep a straight 14 hours if you let him.
I do that too, especially when I'm depressed, though, more than when I'm anxious. Do you do it so that you can escape?
Sometimes I do, but sometimes it's just like, you know, I'm running off of 5 to 6 hours of sleep at night, and I work, you know, I leave the house at 6:30 in the morning, get home at 6:30 at night, then I'm always working on something at night.
If you wouldn't decide to not do things at 9 o'clock at night and go to bed at a reasonable hour, this would not be a problem.
Anyways.
What time do you take your Sarah for?
Before I go to bed.
How long does it usually take to check-in for you?
I don't know, I'd fall asleep right away. But what was I gonna say? So it's just like
snoring within 1 minute.
When I have days where I don't have to be up at 5:30 in the morning, I'll
you
just
utilize
sleep.
It to sleep.
Yeah. I'll catch up my sleep all day.
I do that too, because those are few and far between for
that's
me
nice.
Too. Unless I'm like on vacation,
that's
the only time. And even then, my body wakes me up at like 8:30, 9:30, because that's sleepy enough.
But other negative coping mechanisms. Binge watching.
Leaving during a podcast.
Binge watching or binge reading in your case.
I do both.
To where you tune out the outside world.
I do that. Because I want to be in my own world and it gets my mind off of what's bothering me. It's a distraction.
Perfect escapism.
Yeah.
Like you don't have to think about the fact that you're missing 3 quizzes and assignments for a week.
Are you?
Yeah.
And you've missed 2
college
phone calls
is
from
fun,
your,
guys.
And you've missed 2 phone calls from your academic advisor this week. You don't have to think about the fact that
on this realm while we're talking about this, being in college as well, I'm working. I have a bachelor's in psychology. It's kinda why I'm here. But then also I'm working on a bachelor's in nursing. But being in school, and Brittany over here is working on her master's in psychology, so being in school, that definitely adds a bunch of anxiety to our lives. But I think Brittany does a lot of what I do and stuff, like studying or getting your assignments done, you procrastinate.
I know.
And that just makes your anxiety, that's why Brittany and I do, and that just makes your anxiety worse
I'm the opposite. If I ignore when you see it done, that makes my anxiety so much worse.
Well, it makes our anxiety worse too, but we basically feel like shut down. Yeah, and just pretend it doesn't exist.
I don't do that.
I'll worry about that later.
Your anxiety is a completely different brand.
Me, it's like if I have something to get done, I get it done.
I share both.
I have anxiety over stuff like, oh crap, it's 10 o'clock at night and I can't vacuum today, which means I can't vacuum tomorrow because I have this to do after work.
Do that all the time too. And like, I'll have a list of things that I get done, and if I don't get them done that day, then that causes, but like with cleaning and stuff.
Cleaning is a coping mechanism for me.
Yeah. If I don't get them done that day, it'll like
create
anxiety when I try to go to bed. So like,
as much as
I
sometimes don't enjoy doing chores, like cleaning the house is a coping mechanism. Getting the house clean and organized, because that's something that triggers my anxiety.
Yeah,
me
too.
Manic behavior.
I clean as a coping mechanism too. I relate to that.
Calling it a manic thing.
I'll go on a
30 minute, like a 3 hour.
I haven't seen that yet, so
I've seen her.
I've seen her do that.
I've done that before.
I've done that before. I sweeped off y'all's porch and I just went on cleaning spree with Micah's porch.
My mom had seen me do that before and she's like, why are you cleaning like everything?
But, I need to.
I'll be manic and I'll start cleaning one thing and I'll be like, oh my god, this is dirty. I need to clean this. And oh my god, I need to clean this too. Yes.
I think the most manic thing I ever did before was I got a toothbrush and some bleach and cleaned the grout of my mom's bathroom iron because I know it's good.
I was gonna do that with my tile. It was so bad, but like
doing that. And my mom was like, "Why?" And like,
would you guys say you're somewhat OCD about cleaning too, or is it just your anxiety?
He's completely
OCD at all.
I enjoy cleaning.
Yeah. I don't mind it.
It's a trigger.
I hate folding laundry. That I hate.
I'll get it done.
Like housework.
I get it done.
Housework is a trigger.
But like the thing with you is you have such an avoidance. Like, you use avoidance as a coping mechanism to the point where, like, it snowballs out of control. Like, I might ask you to do, like, hey, can you fold the wash? And then 3 days later, you still haven't folded the wash, and I ask you to do something else, too. Like, hey, can you take the garbage out?
Okay,
like,
I'm not going to start anything, but like, I heard Brittany ask you to do, like, 50 things while I've been here. And you've probably done, like, three.
I've done everything.
Well, you asked her to like change my good, you weren't doing that, but I just did that. And then she's asked you to do a few other things. But I'm not bashing you or anything.
I'm not there. Anyways.
Sometimes I
You
clean.
Avoid things, sometimes I do. You both do.
Josh likes to do some of the cleaning just to not hear us argue about this.
Hearing people argue is probably one of the biggest triggers for my anxiety because my parents would go into full on screaming fits when I was a kid. So whenever I hear people arguing, I either get irritated or...
I've done the same thing when I...
We're not really arguing.
I know you guys aren't really arguing, but it still triggers my anxiety.
Yeah, makes sense.
So then,
because you guys will do it for literally like 20, 30 minutes.
Hold on, question. What do you do when you get your anxiety triggered by them arguing? What do you do?
Go and do it.
Just intervene.
I just go and do it. I'm like, I can't listen to this anymore.
Which is why I started trying to de-escalate Cody, and he's not getting it. Like, I'm being calm and just agreeing with you. Stop. Just stop.
I mean, I've done the same thing before, like, when I've spent nights here before, like, I'll do their dishes.
Yeah, I sweeped off their porch. I went on a cleaning spree earlier and, like, cleaned all Micah's toys up, which he got back out, but...
Which I asked you to clean off that porch, like, a week.
Oh my god, here we go! Example!
So,
as we were talking about, it's okay, I did it, I intervened. High five, Josh, we both do that.
Hey, just saying.
Diagnosing medication anxiety symptoms, sure. Okay, wait, diagnosing what?
She wants diagnosis, medication, anxiety symptoms. I'm diagnosed with complex post-traumatic stress disorder, panic personality disorder, and manic depression.
I'm diagnosed with depression, anxiety, basically bipolar disorder, but not quite, like bipolar tendencies, I guess, but that goes along with just the mania and the depression, so.
Brittany diagnosed me with anxiety and depression.
She has generalized anxiety disorder.
Yes, she does.
And I have occasional depression, but I kind of told myself I had that, so.
Well.
I found the spider, guys.
Yeah, I did too earlier, and that's really creeping me out. And that bug's about to land in it. Oh, he's flying through the web.
He's waiting for the moth.
Yep.
Anyways.
I refuse to do anything that involves conventional medicine because I think it's all bullshit and scams and they're just trying to get money in their pockets.
I hate big pharma.
Wait, let me finish my thought. Let me finish my thought.
Finish and then I'm coming.
Let me finish my thought. The reason I hate it is because knowing people in the medical field and people in my family being in the medical field, I've learned a lot about how doctors will give you a list of different pharmaceutical companies saying, hey, sell my medicine, I will give you this much money.
Yep.
That's what they care about. They do not care about you.
So this is big pharma.
No.
Yes, it does.
Yes, it does, but...
90% of the time, they just do not care about you.
To each their own.
It depends on the doctor. I personally know my doctor because he's my mom's boss. and he also does not work with
big farm, basically.
Like 90% of the time, yeah.
I agree with you on the fact that most doctors only care about the money.
Well, no, we live in a country that thrives off that.
Yeah, I 100% agree on that. Yeah.
I don't believe people's lives should be available for profit.
Yeah.
Period.
And then also,
they don't give a shit about you or your health or your problems. They care about what's going into their body.
Oh, the moth.
Yeah, but there are natural remedies that work for a bunch of people too, such as CBD and...
I will say, though,
exactly.
Anxiety
moth
medicines
spider
do
100%
work because...
Ooh.
Oh, he got out!
Oh my god.
The spider touched him. Lung blew out.
So I guess we're all ADHD here too, guys.
Like, the mom totally killed the spider. Anyways.
I will say, though, that anxiety medicine 100% works. At least for me, anyways. Because, I mean...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
you can ask her. I mean, you weren't really in the situation, but
You've also never smoked pot.
Yeah. But, like, I should have started anxiety medicine, like, last year.
Okay, some people are for natural medicine. I was always, that's why I started smoking pot. I was always more for natural medicine to being... though you could be psychologically addicted to pot, it's not really like a physical dependency.
Yeah.
And now I'm physically dependent upon my anxiety, depression, and sleeping pills. And sometimes if I run out of them, I get like headaches and kind of withdrawal symptoms. And I don't like that. I definitely say that the drugs do help, but I was a big component for self-medication. It wasn't really my choice, I guess, to get on the pharmaceuticals. I was just kind of thrown on them. And like I said, they do help, but I was self-medicating with marijuana for a while, CBD. That was helping me a lot, and I tried melatonin and other natural stuff.
Just
as
what
I found seemed to help the most.
You got him.
Well, and then there's
so let me ask. Sorry. Whenever you're not on your conventional medications, how do you feel?
I actually was going to comment on that, and I can't really say that yet because I haven't really run out of mine yet and like had to wait to get more.
Yeah.
Do you get anxious to get more?
No. I mean, I have a thing coming up on Friday.
Now,
yeah, thing was weird. Like, I had to change my appointment. Just my doctor was out of the country for like 2 weeks, so I couldn't get any new prescriptions written.
Yeah,
so it forced me like into
that.
Withdrawal.
There's a noticeable difference in Cody and I.
I can
ask
tell there's
Brit
a noticeable
how I am
difference.
Without my medication.
And
I feel it too.
I can't say how I would be without it. Probably just
without
be
my mood
again.
Stabilizer, it's noticeable.
Yeah, mine is.
I turn into a complete jerk without my medication.
He's an entirely different person.
Yeah, I'm on them now and they help, but like I said, I just hate being having kind of the physical addiction to. Not necessarily an addiction, but that physical dependency upon the drugs.
I've weaned myself off of the only addictive substance that I'm on, my Klonopin.
Yeah.
And my psychiatrist was very impressed that.
You guys are on a shit ton of medicines. I'm on just one little 10 milligram thing once a day.
Name one conventional medication that doesn't have problems once you're done using it. Or doesn't cause physical dependencies or
cause... I don't know when I'm taking Buspirone.
Has some side effects, but no long term.
No long term,
I think
yeah.
It's just like, if you skip a day, you're going to have like a small headache, maybe?
Not really, you shouldn't.
Maybe,
it shouldn't be out of your system.
Yeah.
But, like, otherwise...
But a day isn't long enough for it to really drop your levels that much where it'll be. Like, you might notice it a little bit, but it's
probably not
enough to cause,
like, headaches.
And I'm
literally only taking 10 milligrams. It's not like I'm taking a shit ton of Buspirone.
Like, we're on 30 of the Buspirone, but that's on top of my...
I told my doctor
flat
out.
Yeah, and I'm on Cymbalta
like medicine.
My depression, Seroquel,
and Buspirone. I don't want to take a lot of it, I don't want to have withdrawal symptoms.
I'm only on 3 meds, though, for it.
I flat out told my doctor, like, I don't want something addicting. I don't want something to where if I forget to take it one morning, I'm going to, like, feel like shit. Not just because my anxiety is there, but just feel sick.
I'm on.
That was the problem I had with the Klonopin.
And that's what I told my doctor. And he was like, all right, I'm going to write you this. And
that's
like,
not
okay,
the
I don't
thing
want the
is
fuck
I
it
didn't
is
want
sure.
the side effects.
Well, that
I was
was
concerned about the side effects,
that
too.
Was the problem after my accident was they put me on such a high dose of Klonopin that
oh,
I
God.
Drank
you know,
a sip
there's
of
an entire
wine.
Month of your life missing.
Yeah, like, there
drank
are...
Drank a sip of wine
whole,
and got
There are whole weeks gone because I was just so high from being on such a high dose of my benzos. Like, it was
bad. That happened to me with Xanax before that same day.
She doesn't remember. She
doesn't remember going to Walmart with us and buying plants. That happened to me with Xanax.
I vaguely remember crashing the rental car.
You don't remember the chili thing where you wanted a margarita.
That happened to me with Xanax, and I'm just not a huge fan of benzos. We'll just leave it at that for anxiety treatment.
The only thing I will say, I told my psychiatrist.
That's how I ended up in Ridgeview.
So major conventional medicines.
Yeah, I freaked myself out. That's why I ended up.
So we'll. Ooh.
Yeah, I was watching it too.
We'll say.
Took them off.
Oh, dang.
Ritalin, Adderall, Xanax, Oxycodone.
Yeah, I don't take any of that.
No.
Yeah.
Any of those. No. The biggest pill brands.
No.
They're all terrible.
Yeah. And they're Adderall's
being
basically
prescribed continuously.
Well, legal meth.
Those are
and
all
for
of
those
the,
who
those
don't
are
know.
All of the pills that my clinic would put people in.
I'm on Vyvanse, but I don't take it.
One thing I will say that I absolutely hated and did not like at all about me getting medicine was when I told my doctor about all the symptoms and that kind of stuff like you told me to do.
Yeah.
He was like, alright, I'm gonna write you a script. And I was like, okay. And like, never told me the script. I didn't know what the script was until I was making it up. Because he just didn't tell me. And he was like, okay. And I'm like, that was the easiest thing ever. I'm like, this is why people get Xanax so easily. Because
you just
go to a doctor and you're like, I'm anxious. And they're like, alright, here you go.
Because you know what happens once you get
benzos,
to those addicted things? Or get addicted to those things?
You keep coming back from
no,
work.
They prescribe you methadone. Methadone makes things worse. Because go ahead and mix Xanax and methadone. Tell me what happens.
It's illegal.
You know who can't tell you? My sister-in-law, because it killed her.
And then the thing I also have a really big issue about with pharmaceuticals like Xanax and stuff is, even with my dad, for example, my dad is a raging alcoholic and was a very big raging alcoholic back when this happened. He had went to the doctor and said he was feeling anxious, when in reality he was just really drunk.
50 different flavors.
And this doctor gave him a bottle of 200 Xanax. 200 pills of Xanax to an alcoholic. The doctor knew that he was an alcoholic too. That's
so
another thing.
Here's
and
the
that
thing.
Over medication.
Having worked in a methadone clinic,
like that still pisses me off.
I will tell you right now, any patient who walks in with alcohol in their system and benzo in their system.
Not saying he was drunk when he went.
No, I'm just telling you that anybody who walked in with a benzo alcohol was denied entrance to our clinic. It is anybody who tested positive for a benzo, blew a positive breathalyzer, was instantly not dosed and put into group. And
I was paying.
And their dose was decreased daily until they gave us negatives.
Yeah. That
so
happened.
I have issues with
because
doctors
that was,
to an
it
extent.
It was unacceptable
as well.
Because not only was it a liability for us, but they could kill themselves. Very much appreciate that medication helps.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, I know now that I wouldn't be stable and probably not alive if it weren't for being on something and in treatment.
Putting my Fred down was probably one of the best things I did.
Yeah.
In all honesty. Because it took a lot of pride to be put down for me to just tell a doctor, like, hey, I'm anxious.
Like
I'm a fucking mess.
It took tons and tons of talks with me for you to do it.
Yeah. And it came to a point where I'm having a panic attack before my first day of work because so many good things are happening.
Right.
And I'm like, this is fucking crazy.
Sometimes people are also scared to go and get help because they're scared to be, I guess, labeled.
Yeah,
as
that
having,
was my thing too.
Yeah, as having anxiety and or
that's
depression.
Why I didn't do it for years. I was scared of, you know, mainly my parents. What
are
my parents
and you're scared
say
of what your parents and what your family and what your peers are
my
all going to think and if they're going to judge you.
Did not getting medicine.
Yeah.
And at the beginning anyways. She did not at all. She was like, you should be fine. You can just pray. You're
and
fine.
A bunch of time people's parents don't.
It.
A bunch of time people's parents don't understand or don't understand mental disorders, and it's
my
taken me a lot personally. Like when I was in treatment, I'd bring home all the paperwork they'd give me on anxiety and depression and all that, and now my mom's on meds for anxiety and depression, so she kind of gets it now, but my dad's just
he was originally against it and kind of thought we were crazy and stuff, but I've tried my best to educate him and show him some of the papers to read, and kind of I've opened him up more to it, because as he was reading, he'd be like, this describes you perfectly, you display all these symptoms, and it was kind of a good thing, but not everyone's even open to that education.
Yeah, well, my mom, my stepdad, he's bipolar.
Yep.
Textbook bipolar, yep. One. Textbook. Case studies we did in undergrad for bipolar, yep. That's him.
Yep.
And an alcoholic.
Which one?
Not anymore.
Bipolar, what type?
No, he's bipolar one. He's got the full mania and depressive.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, 100%.
Okay. And, he's sober now. For over a year.
Mm-hmm. I can relate to this. Not with me personally, but in my life.
And
get the bug.
But
she wants to sleep.
She's dealt with the mental health crisis. She's dealt with the suicide attempts, the Baker acting. She's dealt with, she's resuscitated him multiple times.
Yep.
She's done all of this stuff and dealt with his mental health crisis.
Yep.
My brother is ADHD,
severe.
Oh my god. Like, you want to smack him every time you
throw him in
his mouth.
Leg like Josh threw my burrito.
Yes.
How old is he?
20.
The first time I met him was when I slept over TJ's house.
He's like worse than me.
The first thing he said was, ooh, you slept over TJ's house? Did y'all do the thing?
He's obnoxious.
And I'm like,
you have no idea.
Well, did you?
I'm gonna punch you.
No.
Have you since?
Oh my god!
No!
Shut up! I will cut your throat with a spoon.
I could take it a step further.
Anyway,
We are talking about a thing.
So, my mother has all of this experience with all this mental health stuff, but my mental health issues are not valid enough. Like, I had all of the postpartum depression and the prenatal depression, and I was just
depression.
I was just magically supposed to be better.
Yeah.
All of a sudden. And then, when Cody and I separated and I was living with her.
She saw it.
And, it was
she
like.
She saw that
She was
shame.
Like, you need to be more functional than this. And I was just like,
kiss my ass.
Okay.
I would if I could
no shit.
Be.
Wasn't she trying to take Micah away from you?
Uh-huh. Yeah,
she didn't think you were a fit mother.
She
was like, your mental health makes you an unfit mother.
She was being an ass.
And I was like,
I hope
your mom doesn't watch this. That's
great, but your child was being taken care of.
Does your mom watch
your child?
This?
You know, that's what I mean.
My mom doesn't pay attention to anything I do.
Your child was sure as hell taken care of.
Yeah. I would never, even in my worst days when I literally couldn't do anything for myself other than feed him. And I couldn't get off the couch.
I used to come in.
That's what I was saying. Even when you could take care of yourself, you were still taking care of
I
him.
Always took care of
him.
Well,
and I was helping out with you too on days where you needed it.
Well, yeah, I mean, I help out my
but
friends
I mean,
with their
like,
kids.
When my postpartum depression was so bad that I couldn't get off the couch, Micah was still fed and changed and clothed and bathed. Like,
taking care
he
of.
He was taken care of. I considered days that I ate a one, like a win. Like, there was. Like, it's just how it was.
Hey, Minda.
Yeah, my mother definitely didn't understand. Well, still doesn't understand anxiety or depression. She admits to that, but she was so.
Have you tried giving her stuff to kind of read on it?
Yeah, she's done her own research.
Okay.
Who's like,
pray about it?
Did you pray?
Yeah.
Have more people pray over you and it'll help.
I mean, not the praying
praying
does
help.
Praying does help, but when you're
stuck up. Sometimes you need to take it a step further.
My dad has asked me, did you try worshiping? Can you really be anxious when you're worshiping? I'm like,
yes.
Dad, I have panic attacks in worship services, so sure, I can.
But she was so against me getting on the medicine when I first started talking about it, but she was like, you're an adult, do whatever you want, but I don't agree with that. I was like, okay, so I did. And now that I've been on it,
she's like, oh my god, it's a godsend.
She totally notices a difference.
Yeah.
I talk to people, I'm confident.
Same with me.
You know what's really bad for depression?
Same with me. My parents can always tell if my meds are getting low or I've run out.
Sorry, I kind of lost it.
What's really bad for depression?
Oh. Going long periods of time without any kind of sexual release. Yeah. That is true. I'm not trying to be funny.
No, he is absolutely
true. It is true.
I'm not being funny.
We are making Brittany uncomfortable.
No, Brittany. It's okay. No, continue.
No, I actually want to point out something really random. But just a little bunny trail. It's like 10 seconds. The medicine I'm on is not supposed to have sugar. What am I drinking right now?
Satan water.
You'll be fine.
Hey, you're not supposed to have grapefruit.
Grapefruit can interact with most medications.
Citric acid.
What?
Grapefruit.
I've been drinking this whole bottle.
It's so potent.
Good thing I don't like grapefruit.
I was about to say, you hate grapefruit. Why do you care?
Okay. Sorry. Go on, please.
So, dry spells are bad.
Basically. I mean, not just dry spells. It doesn't have to be intercourse. It can be masturbation. They say you should at least have some kind of release once a week because it does build up. Well, it's not really an explicit topic.
No, but that's true. We're all adults, and it's true.
Well, I'm not saying, hey, I'm gonna go blast off some knuckle rockets here in a minute. I mean, I just did as an example, but.
Oh my god.
No, but I mean, like, I'm actually.
But no, I'm saying that is actually very normal. It is very good.
Amazing.
You know what? You know what's another good form of
sexual frustration is very real.
No, you just talk about masturbation, and you're like, I've actually done, and then you just stop and like.
No, I'm talking about the masturbation thing.
Yeah,
like,
you gotta flick a bean and do it.
Brittany's like, stop!
I don't masturbate. For the record, I'm telling the truth.
Well, you should.
Bullshit.
No, not. I've never masturbated in my life.
Well, you should.
She has a boyfriend, she's sexually active, she's fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm okay. Just looking at Brittany.
You get what I'm saying, though. I'm saying everybody should.
My boyfriend
lives
with me.
I don't want to have this topic
Brittany.
On my podcast, so we're not going to go there.
I 100%
see. Sexual release. Sexual tension, sexual release, the end.
What,
keep going,
what,
next
what topic.
Topic.
What?
We don't need to continue going. This podcast is officially over an hour.
Can I talk about my coping mechanism? Because
yes.
my my coping mechanism is very different.
I have an idea what
it is. I compulsively buy, sell, trade, and fix and flip things.
You don't fucking say.
Like gear, but like to me,
selling, flipping.
To me, like hunting for something.
Yeah, he likes going to thrift stores and like
going.
Stores.
I go to pawn shops and check shops. Facebook Marketplace, OfferUp, Letgo, Craigslist, pawn shops, everywhere I can think of to find gear.
I want to say that's almost like your addiction.
Well, it kind of is.
Totally
but
is.
Then again, like I'll actually use the stuff, and the stuff I don't use, I'll flip and make money. So I've made decent money doing it.
Yeah, it's actually productive, but it's like people who basically get manic and go start shopping or buying stuff.
But
that's exactly why I brought that up.
Yeah, but it's not stuff like clothes or stuff like that.
I know. We also discussed I adopt pets.
Oh, yeah, I
spent $90 at TJ Maxx the other day.
But no, you know, and even though, like, I know
that. Mine's using that clothes either. It's like electronics and stuff, hence the.
But the thing is, like, me with running the studio, the things I buy, I end up using in the studio. I'll buy an acoustic guitar, I'll use it on the next track I do. I buy a new microphone, I'll use it on a bunch of tracks.
But you impulsively buy...
Actually, I've been...
For a while there, it was a snare a week.
Yeah.
I've been pretty good recently, though. And
I think you have been getting better.
No, don't chew on the microphone.
And the thing is, like, the stuff I buy is pretty cheap. Like, I've spent $20 on a tom snare and fixed it up and gave it to our drummer. Just because, like, hey, I bought the snare, it was cheap, I fixed it, here you go. Merry Christmas.
But now we don't have a snare stand.
Because he got to give that back to us. Other snare stand is on kit number two.
See, I tried to flip things too, but I used Tinder and it didn't go as well.
Now all I can picture is that gif.
Of flipping people?
Oh my god.
Wait, there's a gif of me?
Not you, Josh.
Oh.
Other Josh. Other Josh. But anyways, just thinking about buying, selling, and flipping things, like, keeps my mind occupied, and it's cool. Like, right now,
but my binging avoidance is bad.
Oh, I still get stuff done. I don't avoid stuff. With me, it's not something like, I do it for a couple minutes every now and then, and I just kind of sit there and think about it. Like, somebody has a blackface dual showman head, which is an 80-watt head that was specifically designed for Dick Dale. On Facebook Marketplace, like 15 minutes from here, for $500. I'm like, And I can help, you know.
You can't buy a dragon.
You know, but stuff like that, like.
I'm getting my fucking dragon.
Stuff like that, I'm clearly not gonna put 400 on an amp and then fix it. I could.
I don't have to buy the tank because I already have the tank.
But I'm always thinking about stuff like that. Like, oh, this would be a cool thing for the studio that I could use to do that. And that's just a way for me to, like, always be thinking about the future of the studio and equipment and always nerding out. And I talk to friends. And honestly, talking, it's a good way to keep me talking to people. Like, I found that Dual Showman head a little bit ago. So far, I've sent it to two different people and had conversations with two different people about it.
Brenda and who else?
Brenda and Will from work.
You know, this is another coping mechanism I had years ago. Like, this is before I had this group of friends. So, like, I didn't have friends before you guys.
I still don't have friends.
No, I mean, like, I'm being dead serious. I had three people I hung out with. One was an ex-boyfriend, so kind of two. Like, I did not have friends. And one of my coping mechanisms back then for getting out of, like, the loneliness feeling was I used to broadcast on You Now a lot and talk to people.
Okay.
From everywhere, which is why I still have a friend of 5 years now from Australia.
Okay.
Because I made really good friendships with him.
Yeah.
And, like, that was my way of coping because, like, it made me feel as if, like, I had friends.
Yeah. And, then,
and like,
and
maybe
that's...
I mattered, like, this much.
And that was way too much.
And that's...
Yeah.
That's a slap you, Josh.
I
got backhanded.
He's about to get kicked.
All the Neopets friends and, like, all the AIM friends and, like, all of the internet chat friends.
Yeah.
But that got me through that time.
Yeah. But, like, Gear and the community that forms around Gear, like, I've met so many people and I'm still friends with a ton of people that we just talk about Gear. The co-workers that I'm closest to at work are people I talk about gear with, and we just talk about drums and snares. Because
you guys share similar interests.
Yeah. But, like, that's my coping mechanism.
That's part of my avoidance issue.
And something you work on and throw yourself into.
And if I spend a weekend working on a snare drum or an amp or retolexing a cab, I'm learning a skill.
Yeah.
I'm learning how to do something or fix something. I'm talking with friends about it, so I have that community formed around it. And in the end, I still have something that's worth more than what I paid for it.
Mm-hmm. I like throwing myself in the stuff, too, when I get to pass. And I'm very goal-oriented, so I'll set goals for myself and set lists for myself of projects that I'm going to do that way.
Yeah,
my next big project I'm about to take on, it's not really that big, but I'm going to move all the furniture in my room, take everything down, and repaint my bedroom. The year before that, I completely redid my bathroom, repainted it, redid everything, like all the hardware, redid all the knobs, took the doors off the hinges, like the whole entire back room got stripped and redone. And, like, I'll just set, like, okay, well, I need to clean this, or I need to get this done, or I need to redo this room, or, you know, just whatever project.
Yeah.
Or I even want to, like, I like coloring and drawing some, and, you know, stuff like that. Or, like, I need to finish this, you know, drawing, this painting, this whatever.
You with art is like me with
my makeup. My next project is I got a 70s Fender 2x15 basement cab for free. So, and I need to put a new speaker. That's what I said, cab.
It needs a new speaker.
No. That's the,
She's chewing on my cable and I hear the sound and I'm going, what the fuck did she just do to my computer?
Anyways.
What sound was
Yeah, I need to get a new grill cloth and install a new grill cloth on it.
I hate you so much right now, Josh. Right.
What does that sound mean?
I know exactly what little thing that can do with everybody to get their blood flowing.
It's like,
great.
I was like, what?
I didn't know what sound it was.
She broke it. She killed it.
Talk ages on anxiety, you know this.
It's gone into anxiety and depression too a lot.
Yeah,
but the two do kind of go hand in hand. But
anyways, so close it out.
Okay, bye. That's out.
This has been fun. Cody disappeared, and
that is the way the cookie crumbles.
This has been the Life Sucks podcast.
I feel like you should just upload this. No edit. Be like, this is how we really are back.
That was last time.
Yeah, no, that's... once.
Be like, hey, we're fucked up. Listen to all of it.
Join us next time for maybe for real that discussion on depression. Thanks. Yeah.